What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling this Friday morning from Borgata, our home base, of course, every Friday. We love being here, and we also love when the Phillies are in the playoffs, and they are, and that starts tomorrow. We'll talk an awful lot about it today. Our final crack at it before the Phillies begin their postseason journey. Of course, the Mets already have. That's who the Phillies are going to face tomorrow. It's unbelievable. That was an incredible game last night. The Mets win it. So, look, Phillies-Mets tomorrow. And for about the next week or so, we'll have some residual Eagles conversation. Of course, Dick Vermeil on the show later today. Also, all sorts of audio related to the Phils is recently on the station. You know, Bryce Harper, Rob Thompson, John Middleton, Dave Dombrowski will play audio of all. Look, all of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494, Richie Rich.
Joe.
Hey, bud.
You know how I said Charles Darwin innovated the office chair to make the one that slid around with wheels?
I like that.
Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, the man himself, invented the swivel chair. He invented the one that had a separate piece connected by a spine that had the top and the bottom separate, and he even used it to draft one of the most important documents ever drafted.
The Declaration.
The Declaration.
So I could use this because I want to rip.
He believed that this new swivel concept delivered unprecedented freedom of movement and versatility.
Yeah, which we don't have. So let me rip. I want to rip our engineer Fran. Now, he don't have a microphone in front of us, in front of him, so he can't talk. So I'm just going to rip away. Nothing he can do about it. I got to tell you, Fran. I feel a little stiff in this chair today. Like I feel like a little like where's my swivel chair, Fran? All right, talk to somebody that knows somebody. Hello. No, it's funny. I did sit down a couple minutes ago. I'm like, oh, no. It's like I feel a little.
What do you mean? You're?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the same chair as last week. I just feel a little upright.
They're very heavy.
Maybe they're hard
to move.
Listen, maybe I'm just a little nervous about the Mets. I'm not going to lie. Ladies and gentlemen, look. I'm not going to lie.
Comes out.
Garrett Hammer this morning.
I am. Look.
What about everyone who was saying, hey, you got to play the best. You got to beat the best to be the best. Everyone who said, hey.
Yeah, and that's what the Mets might do.
The Mets. It'll feel so much better when we put those fans down for the count.
I know. And, of course, James, you know my other thing. I'm scared that people today are going to tell me I'm a Mets fan because in 1999, I'm rooted, you know, very hard for them to beat the Braves. But I thought that was warranted. My friends from Fairfield last night are texting me. I mean, the whole thing's a disaster. They're like, remember in 99, we're all excited. I'm like, all right, enough. Right, enough.
I think we have audio proof of that.
All right. So, couple things here. First off, hello. Second off, obviously, we want to hear from you about this series and what you're thinking. Are you worried? Let me just say this out of the gate. Am I worried? Of course I'm worried. But I'd be worried against anybody. I mean, this 162-game journey can end in 3 to 5 days.
You're so scared, always.
No, I am. No, James, I am. Because the Phillies are now in the position the Braves were in the last 2 years. They are. The Phillies are now the Braves.
So what? And completely different teams and different cities and different worlds and different games and different opponents and different everything.
But, James, almost identical circumstances to this. A team that won the National League by a bunch of games, a team that didn't have that much to play for in September, like they were in a jockeying for, you know, home field and all
that. Okay, that happened before.
Well, I mean, and the Braves got their asses smoked.
This is a history that's been unwritten where we, I believe, are the better team than that Mets team.
I agree.
And I think that Mets team is now overconfident. I can't imagine how you couldn't be. Now the Mets, not only do they have to fight against us, our Phillies, our home field advantage, but it's human nature. They think that they're that team of destiny. And I'll tell you what, I do feel like this is the harder path slightly.
Yeah, I agree with
that. But I really thought the Brewers were going to pull it out last night. You know, that series, as short as it was, it felt like the Brewers had turned it on its head and they were about to steal it.
They were about to win it.
Yeah, so the polar bear last night steals it from the Brewers, who were stealing it from the Mets. It wasn't one way or the other.
But here's the
polar
thing.
Bear pulls it out.
Yeah,
all right?
Talking about Pete Alonso for those that don't know.
And that was a miraculous play. But you know, we know them. We hate them. We'll take it to them. It'll be that much sweeter when we crush them. I'm excited for this matchup.
All right, look.
Look. Because they will believe they are better than they truly are after last night's. It really was an amazing.
It was a wild
game.
All right. So look, everyone can jump in. 215-592-9494. I mean, obviously, fundamentally, the main thing is your enthusiasm and excitement and anticipation for the Phillies playoffs, which, you know, start tomorrow. You know, I mean, and give us those pumped up phone calls. But also, I mean, let's get into the teeth of this series. And whether, you know, it concerns you, and whether it frankly concerns you more to face the Mets than it would have been with the Brewers. I mean, I do think their fans are a factor. I do think how hot they are is a factor. And I do think the way they won last night is a factor because, boy, oh, boy, they ride it with a lot of momentum. Hate to do it to you, but let's just listen. For those that missed it, it was, you know, on the somewhat late.
Can I refuse to play audio if you ask me to back in the studio?
Can
I just nix this?
But, James, this is what the Phillies have to deal with. So, unfortunately, I think we do have to play it. All right, we'll play two pieces of audio.
I just want to, I'm you know, lodging my complaint against this now.
You're filing a complaint.
That's right. A grievance.
All right, so the Mets are down 2-0. It's the ninth inning. Their backs are as up against the wall as could be. I mean, it's not two outs and two strikes, but they're in deep trouble.
Two on.
Their season is, you know, basically maybe about to end. And without having got a run across the plate in the first eight innings, in the ninth inning, Pete Alonso does this.
Here's the pitch. Swing on a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
Look, they're a team that's really hot. They got a lot of momentum and belief.
Why are they really hot? Because
why
Pete
are they
Alonso,
really hot?
Because Pete Alonso swung the bat well in the ninth inning last night. They were not hot. They were losing that series. The Brewers had turned it around.
I thought
the Brewers were going to win last night.
Can I say something? The Mets have had a better record for the last 4 months than the Phillies.
Yep.
That's part of being really hot. I mean, they've been hot for an extended period
that
of time.
We have not applied ourselves completely over that time period, and they have had to apply themselves completely just to get in.
I agree.
They've been playing hard. They are not a team of destiny. Pete Alonso did pull it out. That was a miraculous game. That was wonderful. But you know what? We've had miraculous plays. I can think of incredible home runs Bryce Harper has hit to lift us to the next round. And then what happened? You know, like, it does end. That hot streak does end. There's the Mets. It felt like it ended prior to Pete Alonso's home run last
night. I got to tell
you,
John, I honestly can't tell if you completely mean all this or if you're just needling me. Devin, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Not everyone's terrified of the Mets.
I'd be scared of anybody. I just want to be clear. I would have been scared any which way this thing got caught. All right, Devin, where do you stand, Phillies Mets?
So I actually thought I wanted the Brewers just because the Mets were so hot. I mean, we talked about it a week ago today when we were discussing Mets and Braves. And last night when Milwaukee was up 2-0, I kind of was disappointed. So I wasn't happy that the Mets won. I wouldn't be happy if either team won and they're hot, but I'm not scared.
Does this make it more fun?
That's really
fun
interesting.
Fun is
what
one
Devin
way
said.
To put it, but I hate the Mets.
It's
and
compelling.
I hate their fans and they're obnoxious and I don't want them to take over the bank. I don't think they will. I think that we will show out because we do truly have the best fans in baseball, but it just, not that the stakes weren't high before, but like,
oh, they're higher.
The Phillies have to win this series. And I want them to win I want them to embarrass the Mets.
Yeah. I
like
what you said there.
I want them to win in the most convincing way possible.
I like what you said there, though. When the Brewers were up 2-0 last night, there was part of me that felt disappointed. There was a part of me, and I didn't even realize it until you said it, Devin. Mm. Until you said it just now. I was a little bit disappointed last night that the Brewers were up
because
2-0.
This is now more compelling. Like,
yes,
it is.
That is absolutely it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it until you said it.
I think
that'll resonate for other people too.
Yeah, and I don't think the Mets pitching is as good as Milwaukee's. I don't.
Well, look, see, that's the irony is there's actually the actual team and the players on the team. So many of us view it through the rivalry prism, but that's another factor. James, the Phillies versus the Mets, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Devin. Like, I thought I wanted the Brewers just because I do think they're a slightly easier path, but this is, sports are supposed to be fun. This is super fun. And the Phillies are better than the Mets. Like, the Phillies have been better all season long. They won seven, they were 7-3 against the Mets in games that Taijuan Walker didn't start this season, for what it's worth. Like, I think they're a better baseball team. And I know we get so scared of this bye. Like, oh my God, their time off. The Phillies had 5 days off before the World Series in 2022, and they went in and won game one in Houston. Like, this happens. This is baseball. Like, I just think they are a way better team than this Mets team, and I get it. The Mets are hot, and we know a hot team can ride it, but I'm not going to be scared of this Mets team. I'm not going to be like, oh, look at the Mets coming in here. We have home field advantage. We have a better baseball team. We have way better pitching. We're giving the ball to Zach Wheeler in game one. Like, we got this, man.
All right, look, everyone shot at it. 1-5-5-9-2-94-94. Where do you stand? The Phils, the Mets, the bye, does it worry you? The Mets, do they worry you? You know, we'll get into other aspects, obviously, that could go wrong, like Rob Thompson's decision-making and more of the bats. But there's also an awful lot to celebrate about what could go right. James's point is on point. The Phillies are a better baseball team than the New York Mets. There is no question in my mind about that. And giving that ball to Wheeler is huge. And obviously, he should be motivated against a team that, you know, frankly, did not believe in him enough. That's how the Phillies
swooped in. It's a great point, Joe.
Well, look, that team got it done. Not exactly that team. Obviously,
everyone
that was
but
in
Dave
the 70s.
Cash.
Yeah, that team came close. But it was a couple years later the Phillies got it done. So, you know, I was thinking about it this morning. This is the Phillies' third crack at it. And when the Phillies won the World Series in 80, it was dependent on how you want to define it, either their fourth or fifth crack at it, because they made the playoffs 76, 77, and 78, missed the playoffs in 79. Now, I'm sure if there were three wild cards back then, they probably would have made it. I'd have to look at the standings. But, you know, so it was, you know, playoff year four, year five for the Phillies then. When they won it in 08, it was year two. Made it in 07, 08, bang, okay? So this is crack three. I mean, the bottom line is there's different ways to get there. You know, when Julius Erving won the title, I mean, they've been knocking on the door for years. I mean, for years. Sixers were in the finals in 77, 80, 82, before finally breaking through in 83. So, look, the Phillies have a great shot. They have a great team. I do worry about the bye. Let me just tell you the three things specifically about the bye that worry me, and then we'll go right to the phones. And I actually said this months ago, and you know, it's played out just because – this is what always happens with the bye. Three things that worry me the most about the bye. Number one is the obvious reality. You know what? My eyes are so bad. I got to put my glasses on, guys. I can't read anymore. All right. Here's
whoa.
Yeah, that's how bad
that was momentous, right?
No,
there.
No, I couldn't.
You
read
are
it.
An old man.
I couldn't read
that
my
was
own
crazy. Did you see that?
I couldn't read
Richie
my
was
did
ready
you see
for
that?
It.
He tried
I honestly
to read.
Couldn't tell if he was joking or
no,
not.
That wasn't a joke. He tried to read. Yeah. He looked at it. He started scrunching up his face. Yeah. And like,
so I see it now, and I can read. I can read it without the glasses. But the problem was, I had about four or five different things here. I couldn't find which section. Was the three things that
worry
me about the
bye. Will you also do the one eye super close to the phone thing when you're not wearing your
that's
glasses?
That's when I have my contacts out.
Yeah, okay,
and I have my contacts
okay,
in there.
Okay.
All right. Three things that worry me about the bye. By number one, 5 days off, i.e. rust, obviously. Number two, September less pedal to the metal than the team that you're about to face. I mean, a team that's in the wild card round, generally, unless they win a division by a ton of games but aren't a bye.
Yeah, why are you pumping up these reasons why we might not?
Well,
be
it just where it's just where
like these. Yeah, sure. These are things that can go wrong.
No, I understand.
Well, why don't you list the things that can go
will,
right?
I'll,
also,
I'll do that in a second. And then the third thing is that the momentum of the team you're facing, and you can't have more momentum than the Mets have. What can go right? All right, Zach Wheeler, Nola, Bryce Harper, a better team, home field advantage. A better crowd, although don't kid yourself.
Like the this Mets list is pretty good.
Mets crowd's going to be pretty
our own momentum
strong themselves.
Counts for a lot. Too.
It does.
A rested team.
A better bullpen. A team that's you know.
Oh my gosh, the bullpen is so much deeper than we've ever considered.
It's got a lot. All right, let's go to the phones. Phillies, Mets. Your thoughts. 215-592. Rev it up. Here we go.
You need to calm down.
You are nervous, man.
You need to
calm
down.
We got our own Jack Fritz on the show here.
No, it's not that bad, man. I'm not that ugly. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Josh.
Nicely done there. That was pretty good.
Josh in Pottstown. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, everyone. How's everyone doing? Phillies fever. Let's go.
You know it, Josh. You know it.
So normally I'm terrified to call in, but I can't take you being nervous, Joe. I mean, number one, they have a winning record against the Mets. They're 7-6 against the Mets with 3 Taiwan starts. They could easily be 10-3. You have Wheeler going twice, so at minimum, you're going to have those two wins.
Yeah, you hope to. That's big.
Yeah, we have a way better bullpen, better than we ever had. We were relying on Kimbrel last year.
Yep.
And not only that, but the Mets just had to use Diaz in 2 innings. That used their best reliever. They're clutching at straws, and the Phillies are the ones that did this the first time. So the Phillies know that to not let the Mets get up off the ropes, and they're going to take care of business. No one's
look. I think you have a lot of good reasons. You know what? I also wonder, Josh, and I don't know what ultimately happened deep into the night. Lindor said after the game they were going to party pretty hard. James, do we have any sense?
I only saw videos, and it looked like they brought it. Like, from what I saw.
Yeah, it was hours. It was like hours. They
in the locker room.
Guys with the goggles locker room. On, in the locker room. Everything's covered with plastic. They're spraying it everywhere.
The ski masks, the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great for us. Joe,
so,
put that on your list of great things for us.
So, James,
think about the way we performed the next day. And I know those guys are going to be very focused on, you know, what's to come, this series. But, you know, drink here, drink there. Like, it maybe.
Look, Josh, I like your reasons on the positive side. I mean, there's a ton to be positive about. The Phillies are a better team. But it is interesting to note, they have not had a better record in the last 4 months. I mean, that you can't just push that aside.
Yeah,
they also haven't needed
to. Because the Phillies weren't trying to win a lot of those games the way the Mets were.
Well,
that really should matter.
I agree. All right, Josh, thanks for the phone call. James, let me ask you this. When would the Mets have landed in Philly? Would it be about 2 hours ago?
That's a great question. I don't know if they probably would have flown.
They could fly this morning, too.
I don't know.
Well, John's point is they could have gone back to New York and bus down here.
I don't think they would do that. I think they would come straight here, would be my guess. I think they either left after they partied super late or they're leaving first thing in the morning. Probably late last night so they could have a day today to get acclimated.
And just fall asleep on the plane. So if they left last night, let's just say 1 a.m., let's say they left at 2 a.m. from Milwaukee. They'd probably land in Philadelphia about an hour ago or whatever, you know, or thereabout. All right, well.
Yeah, maybe listening to the show right now. You suck, Mets.
They could be stinking losers. Of course, they won last night. Let's go to Doug in Pensauken. Hi, Doug.
We have nothing to fear except fear itself.
Yeah, the only problem with that is FDR, while I admire him, and it was a great line, it wasn't exactly accurate. There's a lot of poor people that had to fear whether they had food for
for their lives.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's the irony of that line. They had a ton to fear. People were dying because they didn't have enough food. They didn't have jobs.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, yeah, I think the reason psychologically is we're kind of reserved because the Mets are that one division rival where we're not always on the short end of the stick. We kind of had the edge in this rivalry for most of recent memory. So people are a little bit reserved, but I think we're going to take care of business. We want to win more. We're more hungry. You know, I know we could have done more at the trade deadline, but, you know, that's all past. This is the team we got. We're going to ride with them. I think this is the year we finally get it done. I think Bryce is going to just blow the doors off this series, and he's going to steamroll us to the playoffs.
Well, he's a huge key, Doug, and he has really delivered 2 years in a row. I mean, you can't play much better than he has in 22 and 23 in October.
It feels like he is one guy who's able to lift his performance when he knows it must happen. You know, like some guys, it just feels like it's rolling dice. But with Bryce, there's more.
Well,
you
get
more certainty to, like, he's going to make a huge play. And I guess that's what comes with being a great player.
Look,
Wheeler, a simple way to state it?
Wheeler and Nola are their two best players, and they're probably the two players that have been the most consistently phenomenal in the two seasons they've made the playoffs.
Wheeler and Nola?
Wheeler and Bryce, to say. Yeah.
I would say definitely the two players.
Yeah, I would too. And I would say the third best player.
I mean, Schwarber's been pretty great here.
Yeah, I'm saying the last 2 years.
Yeah, I'm saying he's got like 11 or 12 postseason home runs, Schwarber.
I got
Schwarber
you.
Has to be looped in.
I love Schwarber.
Such a major factor in the leadership of this team, the way they conduct themselves. Like, I feel like he's the, I don't know, the lightning rod for the team in some ways. And he's just such a, like, a sweet, soft-spoken guy, like just a good guy who always do the the stuff probably no one else in that clubhouse wants to do.
Well, he's the main
just
leader.
Numbers guy. I mean, the last two postseasons, Joe, in 2022, he had a 937 OPS in the postseason, and last year he had a 1046 OPS
That's
in the postseason.
Great. That's so unbelievable. He's been awesome. And think about the way this season, Kyle Schwarber changed the way he played, and it actually like cropped up in the numbers. You could see the way he was transforming into a leadoff guy, a little bit different than most leadoff guys, but he did a great job with that.
Doug, you confident, my man?
Yes, I am. I think we're going to win this in four games. I'll give the Mets one, but, you know, I think we're going to take it in their house. And with Yohan Rojas, you know, remember, last year we were just one Rojas hit a waiver going back to the World Series. He can hit the ball now. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but he's gotten better at the plate.
What a line. He can hit the ball. Doesn't happen often. All right, Doug, great phone call, man. I certainly hope you're right. Well, it's exciting. The Phils back in the playoffs, and they start tomorrow. A 4:08 first pitch. Zach Wheeler on the mound. Phils versus the Mets, who won last night in, for them, thrilling fashion. It was quite a comeback from New York, scoring four runs in the ninth inning to defeat the Milwaukee Brewers. Could you imagine being that closer? Could you imagine?
You mean arguably the best closer in baseball?
I know. I know, James. I mean, watching that guy walk off the field, because they left him in there, and then, you know, he gives up a fourth run after the Alonso homer, and I'm just thinking, oh, this poor guy. I mean, seriously.
Tough. It's a horrible spot,
that's
man.
A brutal
I always
thing.
Feel for those guys.
I did too, man. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, I don't want to completely lose sight of the Eagles, and you know, I don't know if this is something that gives you a positive feeling about the Eagles or it's just a fact and it has nothing to do with anything with the Eagles. But we know it's been a strange NFL season. We know a ton of upsets have occurred. And, you know, maybe it's a change in the guard in the NFL. Teams that were perceived to be good aren't. Or maybe it's just circumstantial in the first quarter of the season. I'll still call it quarter, John, even though they play 17 games now, first four games. But here's a weird reality. So this will sum up how many upsets there have been. I'm in a survivor pool, or put another way, I was in a survivor pool. So the league I'm in, I don't know if you call it a league, but the pool I'm in, 73 people were eligible week one. There's only 8 participants left, and it was double elimination.
Wow, that's insane.
Now, think about that. 65 out of 73 people entered this have already lost twice just picking the winning team. No point spread. Just picking the winning team.
It's wild.
65. Isn't that incredible?
Can I tell you? Yeah. So I'm in a survivor pool where you could buy back in for the first 3 weeks of the season. Okay. So that included week four.
Yep.
I got knocked out every single week.
Yeah.
Every single week. I'm retiring.
Yeah. How much,
not that the IRS is listening, but how much money did you lose?
So it was like $20. So 20 times 4.
Yeah, that's not that.
Yeah.
It's bad that you did that with such regularity. I mean, that's a month.
But this every season. Week so it was month? It was the Bengals. It was the Ravens. It was the Bucks. And then the Jets.
It feels like
the
someone
Jets
was
got me
bullying
tough.
You.
Yeah.
Jets, Denver. That killed me. Mm. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, speaking of being killed, not literally, but
what a segue. I don't even need to know where it
all
goes.
Right,
that
James,
was great.
This is all about you. Oh, I need an
great.
Answer here.
What a segue to that. Terrific.
Are you, for the next month, again, going to be doing Philly's post-game after nighttime games but before the morning show?
Yes. Pre and post, actually. It's go
John,
time,
how
boys.
Did he do it last
I
year?
I don't know. I just remember thinking, like, Jimmy might be hallucinating. I remember thinking there were times, like, I know there's no way he slept in this period, like, that. I know I've slept.
And even if you
how
did,
is
it would
he
be
alive,
an hour.
A? How is he functional, B?
Yeah.
And, like, what Smurfs are dancing around his feet in his world right now?
So, James, are you ready for this?
I am as ready as I'm going to be. I've actually, like, purposely, I've tried to, other than last night when I had to stay up to watch that, I've tried to go to bed earlier. I've tried to nap more this week. Like, I've been doing everything I can, and I know
that.
It's going to make no difference. Like, I'm just going to, it is, thank goodness the first two games are at 4 o'clock. That's all.
Wild.
You're a machine, though, man.
No, that was incredible last year.
Machine.
I agree. All right, coming up this segment, we're going to get to some audio of both John Middleton and Bryce Harper, things that they said yesterday on WIP. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Wade right now. Good morning, Wade.
Yo, what's up, y'all? Yo, man, of course you going to be online to do this with Jack. Like, y'all do, you know what I'm saying, with the me. It's still me. At least Jack was the only child. You got other siblings, but you the baby child, so you know what I'm saying, put to the
Jack Fritz here.
You got knowledge of the DeCamera family with me being the youngest of five.
Man,
I appreciate
that,
Wade.
Yeah, I know you did.
You're a real listener to the show, man. Look at that.
I know you took your cousin to the prom. I know.
Wade's locked in. Love it.
Yo, Wade, Doug,
what?
Y'all got to untuck your tail and dry off your thighs. Like you on this show, you a chump, right? And you ain't got no dog in you. My man James.
No dog. Wait. Let me explain. Wait.
Yes.
Let me explain something to you, tiny little man. Let me explain something to you. At 7:45 today, I put a 16-game beat the hammer winning streak on the line. 16 game. Yeah.
Don't tell me
I don't got dog in me.
Listen,
no dog the camera. No dog the camera. There's a nickname.
Write it down.
Listen.
Write it down.
257 or something that you're going for, or 58, whatever you're going for today. You're 60, going to get the win.
263 I'm going for.
Oh, I'm sorry, 263. That's what the Phillies going to
do. 633.
What's your performance going to happen on Friday? That's the performance the Phillies going to go in and knock out the Mets. Man, this is coming back for the Sixers. For the Sixers getting beat by the Knicks. This is 95. You know, it's a battle. Nobody's scared. You and Jack only scared because of the phone. Because everybody know you're a Mets fan because you told everybody you're a Mets fan.
Ooh.
That's why your Mets friends calling you.
Oh, no.
And whatever,
and
Jack's scared because the pressure on the Phillies, and he talks so much trash about the Eagles and everybody else, so everybody's going to be on him about that. Man, stop being scared with y'all little personal agendas, man. The team ain't got nothing to do with y'all. You ain't got no athletic ability, and Jack was on Division II. Stop disrespecting Sandy 3. He's 2. So, like,
all right. Hey, who's got more athletic ability, Wade? Joe or Jack?
Well, that's a given.
What's the given?
The given is that it's me. Of course it's me.
Freak those don't mean you athletic. Grand top.
Hold on. Wade.
Wade, I could kick you. Wait. Let me be clear. I could kick your ass in a game of one-on-one hoops. All right?
Throttling. I will beat you with all left-hand layups. I promise you that.
Wade, this should be the first event and the Decameraphilon. This decameraphilon can happen.
I would love
when
this.
When I show up, listen, when I'm coming to a show or something, you're like, well, I don't want to play him. I'm 6'5".
Wait.
Yes. This is the first event of the decameraphilon.
Wait, what's it like to be the fake Wade and Chester? Like, there's Wade and Chester, and then there's you. You're phony freaking baloney.
No, I'm the real Wade and Chester because once I start calling, he got acknowledged.
The only dog you got in you is the big dog from the pros, you loser.
Listen, he's been calling that long and everything. I'm a fan of you, Joe. So you can try to talk.
I'm a fan of you too, Wade. This is fun. We're like sparring partners right now.
Yeah, let's play.
All
good. We Rocky and my main man. You know what I'm saying? That's how we going to the Phillies.
Rocky and who?
Apollo.
Rocky and who?
Clubber.
Right, not Clubber, man. We're Rocky and Apollo.
Well, I don't know who we're talking about.
You ain't gonna kill nobody.
All right, Wade.
Who's Ivan Drago?
Entertaining phone
Wade
call.
Wade is
Holy
great.
God.
What a call, Ivan. Man.
Hey, so are you guys going to play basketball or
maybe,
what?
Maybe. I'm not opposed to it.
Joe actually wants to do this.
Six-five is a little bit of a problem.
Little?
Well, a little bit. But he did say he'd play only left-handed, and he's not going to do that. So he lied.
What if he does, though?
If he does, he will absolutely
lose. If that's a real threat, he will whoop you. Like, if he's really willing to play you left-handed, I'll bet you he's way, way, way better than
you. I think Wade will whoop him regardless.
Do you guys know the NBA player that vowed before a game?
Larry Bird.
Do you know about this, John and Devin? He said he would play a game left-handed. And he played a game where he took almost all shots.
What do you mean almost?
I think it was like 92% of shots or something.
Almost all. Left-handed.
But, like, why?
Because he was so good, and he was playing poorly.
And the other team was talking smack to him. Like, it had to do with the reaction where the other team was giving him crap or whatever, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to play left-handed against you guys.
He was cold-blooded, Larry Bird. Larry Bird, this is maybe the greatest line ever said in trash talk. Larry Bird, who, of course, we all know is white, used to say to opposing players who were black, I am offended you have this white guy guarding me.
Oh, wow.
Like, Larry Bird was like, I can't believe you got a white guy on me. He's white. That was the joke.
Wow.
He's like, I can't
That's
believe
not you, a joke, right?
I can't believe you got a white guy joking. On me. Larry Bird was, I mean, he was cold, man. He was an amazing basketball player. Why am I praising Larry Bird and the New York Mets on the same day?
What is going on right
now? What's going on here?
You are a mess right now.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Darnell right now in West Philly. Hi, Darnell.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Darnell, what's up, buddy?
All right. Joe the Hammer, full of himself, the camera. Once again, here we go. Got a little
fools himself? Is that what you
full of himself? He said it the other day.
Oh, got it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I got a little montage for you, Joe.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's yours. The hammer. Yeah, but did it wobble? Did it wobble? Did it wobble? 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 Listen, man.
Not bad. A good academic. I mean, it sounds like you're in a library right now. If you could raise your voice a little bit.
I can't do it.
All right, Darnell, Phillies and Mets. Give me your thoughts, my man.
Oh, man. I think we're going to blast them back to New York. They're going to have a drive of shame back up that turnpike. Their fans are going to be walking out of our stadium with their heads down. They're going to come in all hyped up, and they're going to go away as the sore losers that they are. So I'm looking forward to this series. No need to worry, Joe. We're going to take care of business because we got a mission at hand. We're going to be good. No need to worry.
Okay. All right. Listen, Darnell.
Let's get it.
You got it, buddy. I appreciate the call, and I like the confidence. 215-592-9494. By the way, when you call today, a chance to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Dane Cook. He's got a show coming up at the Met Philadelphia soon, October 12th. Met Philadelphia to see Dane Cook. Tickets are still available for his fresh new flavor tour. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here's how we're leaning into the Phils-Mets thing and the Philadelphia-New York thing. Today, when you call in the rest of the show at 215-592-9494, call in addition to your point about the Phils or Eagles or whatever it might be. Give us a New York athlete or coach through the years that you really, really didn't like. Like, it could be flat-out hate. It could be dislike. It could be annoyance. It could be irritation. But someone who really got under your skin, maybe they were a great player. Maybe they were a bad player. Maybe a great coach. Like, whatever. Just someone, let's be real. There's so many New Yorkers that have bothered us through the years. We're going to try to figure out by the end of the show who bothered us the most. Best answer by the end of the show ever provides is going to win the Dane Cook tickets. And let me just say, I'm going to refrain at the start here of saying some of the haymakers because I want to give the audience a chance to say some of the most notable hated New York athletes. So, like, I'll just give you, for instance, and this one's somewhat up there, but I don't think he's top five. Jose Reyes of the Mets, I couldn't stand. It's about 20 years ago. I mean, I remember Larry Anderson in a broadcast one time. You know, Reyes hit a home run. He's going around the bases with, you know, number one up in the air, as if the Mets had won anything recently, which they hadn't. Now, they were in first place, and they were a really good team there for a couple years. But the Phillies got him in 07, got him in 08. Couldn't stand Reyes. He was a great player, briefly, but he was really cocky, and that dude bothered me. There's a lot of big answers out there. John, I don't know if you're going ultimately big or what. Give me an answer. You know, Phils or Sixers or Eagles or Flyers, a New York athlete or coach you didn't like.
I felt like Odell Beckham Jr. was a frustrating waste of the purest talent. Like, he could do it all. Remember, as a rookie, was the one-handed thing in the corner of the end zone, and I thought this guy was going to be the next huge thing for the next decade and a half. And I don't know. Now it seems like he plays only when he chooses to. I never even know what team he's on. I mean, I think he killed me in fantasy a couple years ago because I thought maybe he could play. You know, he's still only 31 years old. He's on the Dolphins now, which I didn't know. Like, this guy is just, he's out there. It feels like he's out there collecting a paycheck. I wanted to see greatness. I thought this guy could deliver
it. He's a big example of someone who did not live up to what he could have.
I mean, that's so frustrating.
He clearly should have been a Hall of Famer. There's no question.
No question.
All right, Devin, give me an answer here. New York athlete or coach you didn't like.
So this one's hard because I don't want to take, like you mentioned, any of like the big haymakers off the board. So I'm going to go with probably an unpopular opinion here.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson. And that's mostly because he beat us. He beat the Sixers in the postseason.
I like him a lot.
He's
that
he's
is
shorter.
That
he
is
shouldn't
unpopular.
Be good. Like, he looks like he shouldn't be like that dominant, right. But he is. And I guess I'm just kind of envious of the Knicks if they have him.
No, so. I mean, that last part I get. All right, James, give me an answer here.
I mean, you guys took superstars. I am going deep cut here, all right? You said, we're thinking no haymakers. I'm going to the first Met I ever hated, and we weren't even good yet. The Phillies, like, were irrelevant, but the Mets were good when I was a kid, and I freaking hated Kevin McReynolds. The guy just seemed like a jerk. Like, he always came off as, like, he was unhappy to be playing baseball. Like, Kevin McReynolds hated that guy.
All right, that's a great answer. All right, give us, and by the way, 86 Mets, there's multiple answers there. 215-592-9494. New York athlete or coach that you did not like through the years. Let's go to Jim right now in Bridesburg. Jim, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, crew.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Jim?
Joe, this is for you and for the Phillies.
Good man, Jim. Good man. By the way, when you say things like that, you got to say it the way Charlie Manuel did after the World Series. This is for Philadelphia. That was one of the great things ever. Phil's just win the World Series, and sounds like he's getting ready for WWF or something. All right, Jim, Phillies and Mets, man. Give me your thoughts.
I just made everybody mad around me, just to let you know.
That's great.
And now I got to make you mad, Joe. Okay. Your perspective on this thing is all wrong. Okay, I want the Mets, I want the Dodgers, and I want the Yankees.
Okay? Well, that's the best path to win. I hear you. Look, when the Eagles beat New England, it would have been a big deal any which way, winning the Super Bowl, but beating New England instead of Jacksonville made it a bigger deal. I mean, I get it. I know.
With Brady playing his best game.
I agree.
He didn't play great when the Giants beat him. He played great.
He did. He played an incredible football game that day.
And we beat him.
And the Eagles hung an L on him because Nick Foles hung a lot out there.
Joe, enjoy the moment. Right?
I am enjoying the moment.
I don't know.
Jim, I said it. I got some concern. You know, I mean, you tell me you got no concern, Jim. Are you keeping it real? Are you telling me you got no concern?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
listen, good for you, man.
Bro. After all, it's a game. And you know what? 4-17 in the last 21 championship rounds. That's Philadelphia. Okay? I've lost enough. It doesn't bother me anymore.
It bothers me. It bothers me a lot. I didn't know it was 4-17. I know it was like 2-11 or something, but 4-17, that's bad.
Since the Flyers won their second cup.
Yeah, well, right. That makes sense.
Teams are 4-17. The Flyers are 0-6.
I know. You know, there was a point, hey, Jim, good call. There was a point in the first, I think, 35 years of the Flyers' existence where they had been in 20% of the Stanley Cups. I mean, that's pretty incredible. They were in it a lot. I mean, can you imagine your expansion team in the first 35 years, you're in 20% of the cups? But, you know, a lot of losses happened in there.
Although the Jaguars were good right out the gates in the NFL.
Well, Mark Brunell
expanded.
We're both
and the Carolina
conference
Panthers
title
too.
Game in year two.
Yeah.
I remember that. But they also the NFL also knew they skewed the rules too much in their favor.
Absolutely. They gave
the Marlins.
Every team the ability
but that's different,
to sort of
they
like,
bought players.
They did, teams but they won a World Series 4 years into their franchise. I mean, that's pretty wild.
5 years, but fair enough.
Is it five? Was it 92 or 93?
93 to 97.
Yeah. Okay, so you're doing seasons. So I'm doing years.
Season.
Okay.
Yeah. Fifth season. All right, give us a great answer. Give us a great answer for a player or coach you didn't like through the years. Also, Twitter poll question of the day. We got two of them, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet with the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse. It has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question. Who wins the NLDS? Phils or Braves, who wins the series? Second poll question. Now, these are things that we have looked at for months now and said, you know, what could go wrong? Happens to be against the Mets. But in this round, knowing the Phils got the bye, just knowing the Phils is a great team, but also we've seen them go cold in the postseason before, we ask you this question. What concerns you the most about the Phils-Mets series? Four choices here. Now, John, let's get your answer early today. Which of these four worries you the most, John? A, Philly's bats go cold, which obviously totally can happen. B, the Mets are hot, which is true. C, Rob Thompson's decision-making, namely because of postseason flubs in the past. Or D, the rust from the bye layoff. Which would you pick?
I think it's bats go cold.
Devin, which would you pick?
Bats go cold.
James?
Yeah, and I know 1-4 are kind of similar, but I'm not worried about pitching, Russ. So for me, it's the bats go cold.
So I am worried about Russ, and I'm worried about Russ that the bats go cold. But
right, that's what I mean. I'm worried the bats go cold because of Russ. You know what I mean?
I understand. No, I got you. All right, well, look, everyone can weigh in on all of that. But of course, also bring the enthusiasm and excitement, which, by the way, every single caller so far has. 215-592-9494. You know, one of the reasons to be excited is John Middleton, the owner of the team, is an incredibly committed owner. He was on our show yesterday. Let's listen to Middleton. You know, John Ritchie here with a great question to John Middleton yesterday about aiming for a championship. And Middleton's not messing around. Here's John Middleton yesterday.
John, how much does winning a championship mean?
pretty much everything. I said on this show years ago when Angelo asked me, I said, you know what, I'm going to either win a title or I'm going to die trying. And, you know, I hope... You know, the time I said that many years ago, I think people kind of were like, okay, show me. I mean, I understand that. And I hope the people today would say, you know, okay, you've put your money where your mouth is. And we're going all out. I mean, it's maximum effort every day. So it matters. It matters hugely to me. I see this personally as a huge part of my legacy. You know, I want to win. I want to be remembered 50 years from now as a great owner. Owners aren't the part. They, you know, the players are baseball. To quote that a line from Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, Indy, you and I are just passing through history. You know, the arc, it's history. The World Series title, the players who deliver it, they're history. I'm just passing through, but I want to pass through and leave something indelible.
Look, it's a great perspective from Middleton, and obviously one that is something I think we all admire. I mean, he has put his money where his mouth is, and he wants it bad. That's not phony baloney.
Spending is real. Well, you're like, always at the top.
You don't spend that money to not want to win.
It also feels like he wants us to win. You know, like, because he's one of us, yes. And you know, you don't always feel that with owners. Like, I don't think Josh Harris cares if Sixers fans win a title, but like,
no.
I do believe that John Middleton wants to win it for himself and his legacy and the team, but he also wants us to be winners.
Yeah. By the way, can I just say one more thing? If we're going to talk about Josh Harris for a second, James, let me take it a step further, and we know this empirically. Josh Harris does not want the Eagles or the Flyers to win a title.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right.
Like, he literally is an owner in those sports of other teams.
That's a great point. How ridiculous is that? Like, I know it's all the time, like, but that's so insane.
It is inarguable that he roots against the Eagles.
I know. And one more thing while we got a little Sixers thing. I'm going to just put this out there. I saw this a couple of days ago. Guys, I'm not trying to be the guy that's always annoyed with the Sixers, but they do a lot that annoys me, and I think a lot of us. I just want to put this out there. When they had Sixers Media Day the other day, you know, they're taking photographs and you know, getting ready for training camp, which obviously they've now begun. And the Sixers, on their official Twitter account, put out a series of pictures of the big three, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Paul George. And the caption by someone that works for the Sixers in the tweet of a photograph of these three is this real life? ? And it's like, I'm just going to say it again to everybody with the Sixers. Guys, we are rooting for you. We want you to win. If you win, we win, because we're Sixers fans. But please, for the love of God, go accomplish something before you put out a tweet like, is this real life? I know it's exciting Paul George is here. I know it's exciting. You got a team that can win a title. I'm not eschewing that. But go do something first. It's just really, it's like the Phillies are in the postseason. They've already won a round because they didn't have to play in that round. They've already gone really deep 2 years in a row. Like, Sixers, go do something before a tweet like that. All right, 215-592-9494. And by the way, while that's just like a Sixers staffer, clearly, I blame the adults at the top. A guy like Josh Harris, the president, Tad Brown, who I've met and like a lot, you know, someone has to have, you know, Daryl Morey, someone, I know Daryl Morey is not overseeing the Sixers social media account, but someone has to have the wherewithal to say, hey guys, Let's go accomplish something before we put out tweets.
Come on, this is not this big a deal. But this is them just trying to be.
But John,
like,
they do it all the time.
I know they are. This is what every team does this time of year.
But
they take pictures of their top guys and they put a slogan to it.
But very few teams have let down a town more than that team has our town.
I agree, but let's not take it so far that they can't even advertise the team before the season even starts.
I will say, to Richie's point, is it a thing, man? Like, whenever like a receiver signs with a team, it'll be like, you know, the quarterback and the who's stopping this offense? You know, it's just like,
yeah, you kind of live it up with the new addition for a little
bit. It's just the way it is. I don't disagree with you in spirit, but no.
They lost in the first round to the Knicks.
I get that, but it's just not the world we live in, not the world of the NBA.
Well, if you want to comment, listen, we'll throw it out to the callers. I mean, heaviest on the Phils today, but if you want to comment on that, which side of it do you come down on?